Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is The Called of God, Part 2. My text is Romans 8:28, which states, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that are love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." The verse starts off by saying, "And we know." The "we" represent the Christians. The Christians know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his eternal purpose. Verses 33 and 34 state, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Satan, their enemies, or even their own consciences may bring charges against God's elect. But those who have come to faith in Christ will never be found guilty, for God declares them to be right before all the world at the divine tribunal. Christians may rejoice with the certainty that they will never be condemned, for Christ died for them and paid the full penalty for their sin. He was raised, showing that his death was effective. He now is seated triumphantly at God's right hand, and he intercedes for his people on the basis of his shed blood. Interceding signifies effective intervention. After dying for our sins, he is now at the right hand of God. The right hand of the king was anciently the seat of honor and denoted participation in the royal power and glory. Accordingly, Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, signifies the glory of the exalted Son of Man and the power in the government of the world in which he participates. Hence it is called sitting at the right hand of power and sitting on the right hand of the majesty on high, who also maketh intercession for us, using all his boundless interests with God in our behalf. Verse 35 and 36 states, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." These difficulties do strike Christians. They are not exempted from suffering or from even being killed. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This does not mean our love to Christ, as if who shall hinder us from loving Christ, but Christ's love to us. It is no ground of confidence to assert or even to feel that we will never forsake Christ, but it is the strongest ground of assurance to be convinced that his love will never change. Shall tribulation or other tragedies? None of these, nor altogether, how terrible soever to the flesh, give the least ground for doubt of his love. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, is descriptive of what God's faithful people may expect from their enemies at any period when their hatred of righteousness is roused. Verse 37 states, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Christians are more than conquerors because God turns everything, even suffering and death, into good. Verse 38 and 39 states, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul answers the question he raised in verse 35. For I am sure with absolute certainty that nothing, no condition of the present life, and none of the unknown possibilities of the life to come, nor any other thing in the whole created universe of God can ever sever God's people from his love in Christ Jesus. This leaves us who are justified by faith in the arms of everlasting love, whence no hostile power or conceivable event can ever tear us. Behold, what manner of love is this? And what manner of persons ought we to be, who are thus blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ? Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and now sits at the right hand of God, making intercessions for believers. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. The H5N1 bird flu virus is infectious in raw milk cheese for months, posing risks to public health, a study shows, by Brenda Goodman, CNN, updated March 14, 2025. A group of researchers previously found that H5N1 virus remained infectious in refrigerated raw milk for up to 8 weeks. Dr. Diego Diel, who led the study, says he thinks the virus may be so stable in milk and cheese because it's protected by the complex matrix of molecules around it. The protein and fat content in the cheese and milk provide a good environment for the virus to survive at refrigeration temperatures, said Diel, an associate professor of virology at Cornell University. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, has said, food doesn't pose a bird flu risk. The disease is not passed through food, so you cannot get it. As far as we know, you cannot get it from an egg or milk or meat from an infected animal, Kennedy told Fox News in an interview that aired Tuesday. The CDC is investigating an E. coli outbreak and has advised consumers not to eat raw farm brand raw cheddar cheese in original or jalapeno flavors. Raw Farm is working with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and is recalling its products, the CDC said. 10 people infected in the E. coli outbreak linked to raw milk cheese, CDC says. But that's only partly true. Cats and other animals have been infected by raw cow's milk and raw pet food. And there has been at least 300 confirmed human infections in which investigators were unable to determine the source of the person's exposure to the H5N1 virus. There has been no confirmed reports of people getting sick from eating or drinking bird flu contaminated foods, including raw milk cheese. But dairy workers have been infected by getting splashed with raw milk in their faces or eyes. It's still not entirely clear whether humans can be infected by eating or drinking contaminated food, DL said, noting that his study wasn't really designed to answer that question. I do think it is possible. There's a risk of infection, he said. It obviously depends on the dose, how much of that contaminated product is ingested. It may also depend on the strain of virus in the milk or cheese. DL and his team tested the stability of the AIDS B3.13 virus, which originally infected cattle in the U.S. in March 2024. AIDS 3.13 has caused only mild disease in people. However, a new strain, D1.1, has been associated with some severe human cases. It's also crossed into cattle, further increasing the risk. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is the answer to fear, false evidence appearing real. Months after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on Washington and New York, psychiatrists reported that people who live far away from these tragic events were still coming to them paralyzed by fear. We live in a world shaken by fear, anxiety, and worry. What is the answer to this stifling fear? After Jesus had been put to death, his disciples huddled in fear behind closed doors, filled with uncertainty and despair. But suddenly, they found themselves in the presence of their living Lord. And at his first words, their fears disappeared. Jesus said, "Peace to you," in Luke 24:36. The answer to our fears is found in a personal faith in the living, glorified Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind." And the answer to collective fear is a corporate faith in the living, glorified Lord. The answer to tensions and fears is for the world to know Him who is alive forevermore. We do not worship a dead Christ. We worship a risen Christ who has broken the power of sin, death, and hell, and is alive forevermore. Why then should we fear? There is nothing to fear when our faith is in God. Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of His glory. Yet, be encouraged because God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, He arose with all power in His hands, so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey His word, and when fear calls your name, allow your faith in God to answer the call.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, born we delight in your Shabbat. Enter your rest and your praises we sing. For we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. In 6 days you painted the face of the earth. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. And carved out a day when you'd rest from your work. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat. We delight, we delight, we delight in your Shabbat.